having a bit of trouble there with verse 2. I think there's a certain knack that computer has of not doing what it's supposed to do.
We sing the hymn, "Unto Him that hath loved us and washed us from sin," with harps. It starts off the first verse with harps and with viols. There stand the great throng in the presence of Jesus. And sing this new song.
Yeah.
by Jesus would I know, more of his love to others show.
Amen. Let's just stand on our feet tonight and bow our heads a moment before we open God's word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, that we can come into this place, Lord, and sing, Lord, more about Jesus. Lord, tonight let us talk more about Jesus. Let us exalt thy holy name afresh, Lord. Let us lift up your name tonight, Lord, and I pray, Lord God, that you will heal, save and deliver in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we thank you tonight that there is power in the name of Jesus. Let thy name be poured forth, for your word says that your name is as ointment poured forth. Lord, touch every joint, touch every sinew, touch every bone, Lord. Touch, Lord, every stiffness in the body tonight, Lord. Let the spirit of infirmity be cast down in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your anointing power, Lord, move tonight in Jesus' name. Let your name be exalted, uplifted, Lord. Lord, I give you thanks tonight, Lord, that you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And that there's none like unto you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to step aside, Lord. Take over, Lord, now in Jesus' precious name. Let us, Lord, exalt your holy name afresh, Lord. Be accepted of our praise tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, for a while, I'll try not to be too long. That's what everybody says, and then they tick forever. But I'll try to be straight to the point. Tonight, I want to talk about no condemnation. And the only place we can turn in our Bibles is Romans 8. And we'll read the first verse, and then you may take your seat. Romans 8, and chapter 1. Sorry, Romans chapter 8, and verses 1. There is, therefore, Now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You may take your seat. Tonight I want to talk about condemnation, and we know how that condemnation and sin came upon the whole world and upon the whole earth. I've wrote down here, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And we know what Mark was saying this morning. Through bad advice, condemnation came. Because we know that in Genesis, how that the devil possessed a beast called the serpent. He wasn't a snake at this stage, because it says he was the most subtile beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And we know that how he come down and he advised Eve. Yes. He gave her bad advice. He was a boy that can give advice to this very day. And he will advise you, like Mark said this morning, you'll be advised, don't serve the Lord. You will be an oddball. You'll be a footy-dolly. You'll be anything but right. You'll not be cool if you're a Christian. It's not cool. But it wouldn't be cool if you're in hell. It'd be very hot. It's flames in hell, it says, and it's tormenting flames. It's not cool there either. You know, I've seen a thing where a man and a woman, and the woman said to your man, she said, do you mind if I'm not a Christian? And he says, no, because I'm not the one going to hell. So he said he didn't know, it's not going to affect me, he says. But you know, that's the facts of the matter. We know that, as I say, that the serpent, that beast come down into the Garden of Eden, because God says, it says in the Bible that Satan, he says that you were in Eden. And you know, he come down and he possessed that serpent, and that old serpent, he came and he started to talk into Eve's ear. And he said to her, yea, hath God said. I'll advise you differently. But Eve says, God says, in the day that we touch that tree, we will die. But the serpent says, you'll not die. Do you know what's like today? There's loads of conspiracies, isn't there? Everything's set out to kill you. Them ones and the others. Well, you see, the serpent, he came along and he was saying to Eve here, God's really trying to bluff you. God doesn't want you to do that because he knows that you'll know as much as him. He's really playing a game here with you, but I'll advise you differently. So then we see that how when Eve took of this here, then that we had two children born. We had Cain and we had Abel. And we know that, I believe it's in 1 John, it says, not as Cain, who was off that wicked one, and he slew his brother. So we know that Cain was not off the genealogy of Adam, and we know that if you look through the genealogies, he's not in the genealogies, but he's actually off the line of the serpent, because the devil sowed his seed, as it were, into the human race, and then we had condemnation. We had death. Yes. Condemnation is something, if you're condemned, like if you're on death row, you're going to die. But the thing about it is, you may not be physically on death row, but you actually are on death row if you don't have Christ in your life. You're living on death row every day. Your next meal could be your last meal. If you're on death row, you can get a choice. What would you have for your last meal? But if tonight, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're living on death row. You say to me, sure, I'm young. I've plenty of time. Yes, but you may not have plenty of time. The Lord could come tonight. Never mind anything happening, or never mind you dying, or never mind any tragedy or anything like that. But if Jesus Christ came back, where would you be? Would you be lost and undone without God and the Son? Or would you be in Christ? Could you say, there's no condemnation to me because I accepted Jesus Christ? Or would you be like the crowd that day that stood and said, away with him and crucify him? Or will you be off the crowd that will stand by him and stand in his place, stand along with him? We know we don't have to do any great works because Jesus Christ has done it all. So we see, as I say, what Mark said this morning is very true, how that the wrong advice can lead to destruction. But the right advice can take you down the right path. Jesus said that there is two roads. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. And the broad road leads on to destruction and death. The broad road keeps you in condemnation. You are condemned because we know, like I said here, from sin came in the Garden of Eden, and God came down and he kicked Adam and Eve, as it were, out of the garden. And an angel, cherubims, came down and they guarded the tree of life. There was no hope. All hope was gone. But God had wrote a marvelous plan. And he showed his plan even when he killed those animals and he put them clothes on Adam and Eve. He showed that there would be a plan of blood. And Abel had the revelation. Abel knew that blood would be the redemption. That there would be redemption in the blood. And he took a wee lamb and he cut his throat and he brought a sacrifice unto God. And God was happy and pleased with the sacrifice. And we know that Abel brought a sacrifice of the lamb because, you know, he thought he would gather all the fruits and all the vegetables and all. And, you know, he would have worked every bit as hard, if not harder, than Abel. Imagine trying to grow, if you tried to grow anything in your garden. I remember one time I grew, I would say, about a quarter of an acre of vegetables. And I tried not to use any sprays or insecticides or anything like that. I grew it like what they call today organically. Well, it was a torturing match because you had the ground all nicely ploughed and we got a nice wee drill plough and my dad made me nice wee drills. And I went down all those drills and but me and Linda gave me a hand and we planted wee plants of broccoli and we planted about 3,000 plants all by hand making holes in the ground. So that was labour intensive. We got that all done and it looked great. And it looked great for about the guts of a week. And then the next thing, the weeds started. Then you had to go back in again and start picking the weeds out. And if you didn't touch the weeds grew up. You know, when you see the broccoli plant grows up like a big green leafy plant. It's a brassicas plant. Like they're all the one family. The cabbage, the kale, and the broccoli is all the one family. That dark green, but it grows a lovely big leafy plant. But you see the ones that I didn't get the weeds right out of? They got a shock. And what happened was, instead of your nice big broccoli plant, if you leave that big nice head of broccoli long enough, it grows out into wee shoots and grows like wee yellow flowers, and then that's actually what your seed comes on. But the ones that got choked with the weeds shot up real fast because they were fighting against the weeds. And then they just shot out into flower and they never grew a good head up. They never grew no good fruit. So the moral of the story is, if you're in company and you're in the company full of condemnation and you're choked with weeds, you might try and shoot up and go well, but they'll choke you. They'll do their best to pull you down. They'll advise you the wrong road. But if you keep the right type of company and get rid of weeds around you, don't have any weeds around you if you can help it. Try and avoid it at all costs. Plant, see the plants that got all cleared around them. They grew well and they done well. But the ones that got choked with the weeds didn't do as well because they were surrounded. They were condemned, as it were. They were surrounded by condemnation. Them weeds choked them. But we see here that it says here there is therefore now no condemnation. If we read on down to verses 3, we'll read verses 1 here on down to verse 3. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of death. Christ took your condemnation. Jesus Christ took my condemnation. As I say, we were all on death row, but Jesus came in and said, I'll write a pardon for him and I'll take the death penalty for him. I will go in his place. Don't kill him, kill me. Take me. He was your substitute. He was the one that stepped in your place. For it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, he was born in a manger just like any other baby. You know, if Mary hadn't fed him, he possibly could have died then, I don't know, but I know he was all eternal life. I know what Brother Branham said, he was little Jehovah in the manger, but yet with all he was little Jehovah, but yet with all he was still an innocent baby, he was still a human. He was human, but he was God, because God had to take on that form. You see, there's no other so-called God in this world that can fail what you fail. Do you know, no other God, there's no other religion on earth like what we believe in. Because every other God is either a God made of stone, or a God made of something, or some man that pretended he was a God but wasn't. But Jesus was all God, but yet he was man. And he could fail. You know, we know that when he went up to the tomb of Lazarus, how he wept. And we know that how he was out in the wilderness for the 40 days and how the devil tempted him. And he hungered. And we know that he thirsted. And we know that he slept on the boat. You know, some people try to take these things and say, well, then he's not God. You know, like I think it was a woman one time said to Brother Branham, he wasn't God. How do you make him to be God? Didn't he sleep in the boat? Didn't he weep? Didn't he do that? And he says, but how long? When he wakened up in that boat and stood up and said to the winds and the waves to calm down, and they'd done what he said. When he walked up to the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. That was more than a man. So you see, he was all man, but yet he was all God. That's why it says, great is the mystery of godliness. It's great mystery. But you know, it's something that we've got. So we know, whatever we're going through, he can feel it. Because it says in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. It says that he laid on him all the iniquity of us all. But we know that he can feel everything that you feel. He's got feelings. He's not a statue. You know, also in our religion here, we know that there's no condemnation. But if you go and confess your sins to a man, that man knows about you. And he can remember it. And he could condemn you. If you told someone something that you done, that you didn't want nobody else to know, that person's now got a hold over you. That person's now got power over you. But when you go to Jesus and bow your knee and pray to him, he doesn't retain that anymore. He takes it off you. He says, give me your baggage. Give me your heavy load. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will lift the load off you, and I will carry it for you, and I will take it for you, and I will take it away, and God will not see your sin anymore, because he sees me. He doesn't see your sin anymore. He doesn't see you, so you're not condemned anymore. He looks at the blood. Amen. He says, for what the law could not do. That is why when Jesus was on the cross, and he said, it is finished. He just didn't mean it was finished, that was it, he was giving up the ghost. He meant it was finished. And then that veil of the temple was rent in twain, it says, from the top to the bottom. God was saying to the whole world, I have now made access for everyone. Amen. You don't have to come anymore and do a ritual. You don't have to come anymore. You don't have to be born of a certain lineage. If you're born a certain way, you still have access. You know, in that Old Testament law that someone born with a disability or something, they couldn't even come into the congregation. You couldn't just be decided, here, I'll just be the minister. You had to be born into that Levitical line. And if you had any defect in your body, you couldn't even do the job. None of us would qualify. Well, none of us would qualify because we were Gentiles, at least of all. Amen. We would have been classified as the dogs because Jesus said, why would I give the children's bread to dogs? Because your woman was a Gentile. But you said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall off the master's table. Amen. And he seen her faith. Yes. And he accepted it. You know, I love the message that Earl Roberts preached on it. He called healing the children's bread. Healing. Did you ever hear tell of your bread and butter, the basics? Healing should be basic enough because Jesus Christ has done it for us. Amen. But you know, a lot of times we start to reason. We'll get advice from the advisors. They'll come in and say, but we don't see it that way anymore. We don't believe it that way anymore. The gifts is on the shelf. This is on the shelf. God doesn't do anything anymore. You know, like the teacher said to my dad in school, there's no such thing as demons anymore. They all just vanished somewhat for some reason. I don't know why. But you know, he said he never could get his head around. Where did they go? What happened? If anything, there's more demons now than ever was, because there's more channels opened up to let them work. When people deny God, who takes over? The God of this evil world. He comes in and takes charge, and he pollutes their minds. And then when their minds is given over to that, God says, I'd give them over to their own vile affection. They just take that mind and do that thing. And then we see here in verses 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. But then we've got people today that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no, can't have the Spirit of God in you. Well, you'd be in an awful state if you had no Spirit of God in you. If you're depending on yourself, you couldn't make it every day. You see, people think about salvation, I couldn't do it, because they think they're going to be doing it themselves. But I want you to know, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you, it's like driving an automatic and putting her in cruise control. You don't have to touch nothing. It's even better, because you don't even need to steer the wheel. You let God take over. He takes charge of the whole situation. You just say to him, take control of everything. When you try to take control of things, that's when it goes wrong. When you try to do a works program, that's when it goes wrong. But when you let Jesus Christ take control, he will guide you and lead you. It says, but if that Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will, it says, it will also quicken your mortal body. So we've got a hope tonight. We've got a hope tonight. We know that if we're laid down in the grave for any reason or another, that we know that that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is one day. Them graves, not matter if there's 10 ton of concrete on or what there is on it, but one day that grave's going to open up. Like Shelley sang, there's going to be a wake up and a get up. Grave, get out of my way. Amen. There's going to be a goodbye, because he's getting up out of it. It'll not matter what the world does. But if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken, make alive, re-energize. Even if you're physically not dead, but if you feel spiritually dead, it'll re-energize you. It'll quicken you and give you life again. We see also, we know in John chapter 8, how that them men took that woman and they said, we've found her, we've taken her here in the very act of adultery. Now by Moses' law, we'll stone her to death. You know, some of them boys could have been the very men that was in the, caught in the act with her. Maybe standing there condemning her, putting on a great face. Brave, religious characters. We'll stone her to death because that's what the law says. And we'll do what the law says, like people today. But, you know, the word might say this, but we believe this and we will do that because our church believes that. Or we will do this because such and one believes that, or such and another thing. But we will, don't walk away from the word of God. Stick with the word of God. It doesn't matter who says what or anybody says. Go back to the word of God. Read the word of God yourself. And then God will show you from the word of God. And then you know that you're a solid foundation. You're not like the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. But you'll be like the wise man. Build your house upon the rock and take good counsel. You know that they brought that woman, and then Jesus knelt down in the sand and he wrote in the sand and he said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Oh, they were great religious men. You know, they come puffed up believing they had no sin, like the boys that went into the temple. Your mom went into the temple, he prayed, oh Lord, I'm not like that boy there. I've never done this and I've never done that, and I'm a great fella. How many people have you ever talked to as, like, blow your own trumpet, as they say? They're a great lad. Don't ever try to blow your own trumpet, because you're setting yourself up for a great fall. Listen before you speak is always a good thing. If you speak too soon, you'll not hear the right of it. You're better to listen to the matter. Don't jump in to advise until you listen to the whole situation. You know, you hear people talking sometimes and somebody's trying to tell them something. Oh, I'm going to tell you why. I would do this and I would do that. Don't listen to the whole thing first. Listen. listen and you learn, as the saying goes. But you know, if you listen to the wrong counsel, it'll take you the wrong road. But this is the right counsel. God has given us loads of information. Any situation that you may face, it's in the Word of God. Solomon said, there's no new thing under the sun. But these men come and they were going to condemn the woman. And Jesus said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And the next thing I would say, it was brave and quiet. There was no, throw stones, get the stones, gather up and stone her. But the next thing, it was quiet. And he looks up and there was nobody there anymore but the woman. And he said, woman, where is thine accusers? And they were all gone. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. No condemnation in Jesus Christ. Even in that situation, there's compassion and there's mercy with Jesus Christ. I've wrote down, Jesus made a way for you. John chapter 5. We go back to John chapter 5. Verses 24. It says, for verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Already, you've already got eternal life. Do you know there's some people waiting for some great thing to happen? There's some people waiting for something to fall out of the sky and hit them over the head or something to waken them up, as it were. But you know, you've already got eternal life. He that believeth on me, he says, he that heareth my word. Now, that's what I said before. There's some people listening, but they never hear nothing. There's some people you could explain something to, and 5 minutes later, well, didn't hear a thing you said at all. Heads away somewhere else. That's usually what happens in the house. If you're thinking about something, your wife's trying to ask you about doing a job or doing something, that your mind's not on it. And you're there, you're listening, but you're not really hearing. 5 minutes later, well, are you going to do that? What was that again? Because you're not listening and you're not really hearing. But when it comes to the Word of God, you need to listen and you need to hear. Like they used to say in school, sit down and put your listening ears on. See, you can sit down and put your 2 straw ears on, they don't hear nothing. They're blanked. And the devil wants to get his 2 fingers and stick them in your ear. And then he wants to get your 2 eyes and rock you over to sleep and decoy you and give you false counsel in your ear and tell you you're condemned. And tell you you're not going to make it because you're not good enough. But Jesus says, you mightn't be good enough, but he is God manifested in the flesh. So he is good enough. And he says he stands in your place and he takes your place. And he stands in the brunt of the enemy. You know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that day, they were cast into the fire. If it had been dependent on themselves, they'd have been burnt. If them men had physically been put in a fire like that, they'd have been dead. But because they would not bow, like all Robert says, they would not bow so they couldn't burn. You know, God stepped in and took the heat out of the flames, like I was reading the wee story one night to Abigail about Daniel. And the king, and then they made the decree and they said to the king, if anybody prays to any other god, we'll have him kicked into the den of lions. But you know, they threw Daniel in and the king tossed and turned that night thinking he'll be ate. Because I'm sure they starved them out lions for to do the job. They left them hungry. But when they come down in the morning and the king said, oh Daniel, are you still alive? And he says, I'm still here, O king, because God took over the situation. And that's what God does when you accept him as your savior. He takes out the condemnation. Amen. He takes your hell for you. He has took it all for you. We just have to accept it. But the devil will come along and say, how would you couldn't do that? You would not. What would your friends think of that? Well, you heard Tommy talking about his testimony and how that his friends, he had to tell them, I can't do that anymore and I won't be doing it. And they laughed at him, a lot of them. But a lot of them's not here today. A lot of those men are gone. A lot of those men lived by the sword and died by the sword. But you know, if you take Jesus Christ into your life, he will lead you and guide you. We know also then, as I just said, Jesus has made a way for you. We know that in John 3 and 16, on verses 17, Mark quoted this morning, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For it says then that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." No condemnation. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. If he did, we could have just wiped the whole lot out in a blink. You imagine, he sent his Son to his own people. And look at the way they treated him. Yet with all of that, I read Isaiah, I've there read the prophets, and he fulfilled everything. He even stepped up and he read and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled." And he even went and spoke to them in the temple when he was a lad, and they marveled at the knowledge he had. "This man has never been taught. How does he have this knowledge?" But yet with all, there was a veil over their eyes. They couldn't see that this was the Messiah. And they were waiting on the Messiah. But God didn't. God took away the condemnation. God has made a way for his people. We know that that had to happen because it says that we were a wild olive branch grafted into the original branch. So that we would have life, we have fed off that same life source, for Jesus said salvation is off the Jews. So it says there again too, he says in verses 18 of John 3, it says, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we see the key to the whole thing. We have to take his name. That is why it's important when we go to get baptized that we get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're saying we're taking his name. We're not taking a title. We're not wanting anything else. We want his name. Because it says here that with he that believeth on him, he that takes his name has life. But if you don't take his name, you're condemning yourself already. It's like that man that received the pardon. You know, Abraham Lincoln, I think it was, wrote the pardon. He wrote it on a bit of paper real quick and he handed it to your mom and he run down and he went in and he said to your mom, "Abraham Lincoln has pardoned you. You don't have to go to the firing squad." And he took it and crumpled up, fired it away and said, "You're making a joke." And he says, I'm serious. Look, he says, "If Abraham Lincoln wrote me something, it would be on a nice bit of paper and it would have a big bill head on it and would rip the part." See, because he was looking a big show, like some people today, "Oh, look at that, couldn't go down there. I go to a big church, and lovely big place, and oh, it looks so good, and your man wears a nice collar, and your man's so well educated, and he speaks so nicely, and well, how would they get on with the disciples?" Because it says they were unlearned and ignorant men, fishermen, rough men. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go about and be ignorant to everybody, see. You could take that or just go about and just be ignorant. No, you can treat people the way you want. What way would you want to be treated yourself? Treat people that way. Like the man says, if you don't have something good to say, don't say nothing. But you see here that God has took your place. I've also wrote down here what God has done for us. If we look in Titus chapter 3, on verses 4 down to verses 7. "But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness." Like I said, you see, we've got people today, and it has to be a works program. Well, you couldn't be saved because I seen you get into the shop on a Sunday, so you're condemned. I wouldn't go there on a Sunday to buy anything or do nothing. And I wouldn't get into my car, Harley, and start her by for case anything would happen on a Sunday. Some people are so religious, so religious. Like the man says, they would strain at the knot and swallow the camel. So religious, but yet with all of you said, "Well, come with me, brother. There's a man sick in hospital and I'm going to go down and lay hands on him." Oh, boy. Well, we don't believe in that anymore. God doesn't do things like that. A religious Pharisee. You see here, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward men appeared, by it was wonderful love, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly, abundantly, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You have a heritage. You are now an heir. Like King William and them different men, they're heirs to the king. They're heirs to the throne. If Charlie goes or dies or anything happens to him, King William will step in and become king. He's in a position. Well, you're in a position to a greater kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting life. You're an heir to that now because of what Jesus has done. He says also in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Also in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. No condemnation. We know also, I'm not even going to turn it, but we know also in Psalms, it says also in Psalms that he has forgiven all thine iniquities. Psalms 103 and verses 2 and 4. And then Psalms 103 and verses 10 and 12, it says that he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed them from us. He doesn't remember anymore. When the devil comes along and says, oh boy, you're condemned. Oh devil, I am not condemned, because Jesus Christ has took my place. I'm going to read one more portion of scripture and I'm going to come to the close tonight. I don't know how long that was or wasn't. I'm just going to read this. And I'm going to come to the close. Isaiah 55 and verses 6 and verses 7. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the upright man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon. But isn't there a thing in that? Seek ye the Lord. Don't say, but tomorrow. Like Mark said this morning about that Felix. Or was it Felix, I think it was. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, but I wouldn't have time today. Call me in a more convenient time. I'll give you a shout some more time about that. I'm having a good time at the minute. Me and my friends are having a great time at the minute. Wouldn't be convenient to have God in my life. It would upset all the plans. But seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And he's near tonight. He's near every day. You know, you don't have to be in church for him to be near. He's all around you. He's everywhere. You can pray to him anywhere, anytime. His line's open 24/7. The storm didn't affect his reception. The storm doesn't affect his reception. You don't have to look for no reception on the phone. Can't call. Call ye upon him. Anytime, anywhere, any place. His line's open and his ears never have it. And he's always willing to listen before he condemns. He'll listen to you first. No condemnation in Jesus Christ. Let's just stand up a minute tonight and we'll come to that. I'll pray before Gary comes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, for your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you have given us such a wonderful, great resource, Lord, that we can take from and take strength, Lord. Help us, Lord, always to run into your arms and turn to you, Lord, at every occasion. Help us, Lord, not to feel, Lord, downcast. Or defeat it, or beat as it were. But let us, Lord, turn aside and look to you afresh, Lord, in every circumstance. Lord, I pray for all those, Lord, at school or wherever they may be. I pray, Lord, you'll help them, Lord. Give them strength in this day. We know, Lord, it's not easy, Lord, to follow you in this day and age or any day and age. But, Lord, I pray you'll give young people special strength, Lord, to overcome. Help them, Lord, not to be decoyed. Help them, Lord, not to be, Lord, took over or give bad counsel, but help them, Lord, to receive good counsel, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let their ear be open, Lord, to your cry, open to your call. Let your spirit move upon them, Lord. For those who are not saved, Lord, in our family, I pray that you'll speak to them at this time. That you'll open their ear, Lord, and let them hear your sweet voice. Lord, as I prayed already, Lord, I pray that you'll touch everyone that's laid aside sick tonight, Lord. Help them, Lord, in Jesus' name. For, Lord, we know that you are the great physician. And as the song says, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Lord, we know that when we call upon you, that you're always there, and you're always near, and you're never too busy to hear our cry, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, you'll touch each and every one, Lord. Bless each and every one tonight, Lord, and keep your hand upon us in the days that lie ahead, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Can we sing the hymn, In Loving Kindness, Jesus Came, My Soul in Mercy to You Came, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the death of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. From the weakness He lifted me, with tender hands He lifted me.
Let's bow our heads.
Lord, we thank you once again this evening that we come up here, Lord, and be able to hear your word, Lord Jesus Christ. We We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The Lord, you have offered to the whosoever to call upon your name,
yes.
They should receive. Lord, our prayer tonight is for our family, for our loved ones, for our children, for our friends, that they would call upon you, know you as their own personal Savior. But Lord, help us to be a mouthpiece for you and a witness for you also. And that if somebody has a need or has a question, that we can point them to you, Lord Jesus Christ, in simple faith. Lord, we pray that you just have your way. Lord, help your end these services, we pray. Keep blessing the Paul's, bless Samuel as he brought the word to
you. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Bless our pastor. Bless all those, Lord Jesus Christ, that preach, all those that come to the temple. Lord, keep your heart upon each and every one, Lord. Help us, Lord, to worship you, to magnify your name, until you come again, Lord Jesus, we ask. We ask you now to bless us as we come to our homes. Keep us safe. Keep your hand upon us. Provide everything in the water of the for sending through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just remember then, on Thursday night, if you can come along to the prayer and Bible study, please come along to that at 7:30 this Thursday evening. Can we sing, as we leave, the hymn, Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. The Lord bless us.
Yeah.